Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning. Once again, text line 251-343-0106. April Marie Fogel from 1819 News coming up in about an hour. And then Sam Roberts from the Coleman Daily. We'll talk some trends in this election cycle coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Joining us now on the line, he's a candidate for United States Senate. Here from his opponent yesterday here on the program. But today we got Barry Moore, congressman, my congressman in the 1st Congressional District. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Jeff, we are doing good. Great to be with you.
Hey, thanks for making time for us. Well, give us kind of a rundown. I know you've been up in D.C. Duty calls, but how's the campaign going otherwise?
Going good. We're hearing great things, and we're in a good spot. Just actually, we're doing a tele-rally tonight with the president throughout Alabama. So tell all your listeners at 5:30, if they get a call, it's going to be President Trump and myself getting on the call. So just remind everybody to get out and vote.
Well, how do you think you're looking right now? I mean, I guess said you and I are talking offline, but the polling is all over the place. But I you know, the one poll that I guess counted, and it's been, you know, a few weeks, but May 19th, you look pretty stout. But how are you feeling today?
Yeah, so we're in a good spot, and we look at our polling as actually information. It's not a messaging thing. We actually want to know where we're at in the race and how things look, and we think we're in a good spot. The high propensity voters, we're way ahead with those. That's the four out of four voters, and those are the people that vote in runoffs and primaries, and we're way ahead with the Trump people in Alabama. So we think we're in a good spot. And like I said, the president and I will be calling around encouraging everybody to show up and vote here on Tuesday.
Well, I'll talk a little bit here. I guess we'll start here with some policy stuff. But you're up there. What's the feeling about the direction the president's going with Iran? They seem to be kind of escalating. The ceasefire seems off. But, you know, or where do you think we are in terms of like kind of getting this settled?
Well, it sounds like the president's starting to actually make some moves on Iran. He's starting to hit some of the more valuable assets to the regime, it sounds like, over the last couple of days. And I think he's sending a message, you know, you get to the table. You know, we will open the strait, but you're going to have to suspend your nuclear the enrichment, those sort of things. Just no nuclear weapons. And that's difficult to get that regime to agree to, but I think he continues to apply the pressure. And I'd love to see us get a solution out there. I know the president would, too. He's working in that direction. But you're dealing with kind of an apocalyptic crowd over there. They're tough sometimes. And sometimes the only thing they understand is force. And so he may force them to the table through force.
Well, and so that being the case, I mean, that's what it sounds like it's going to take. We've done this kind of cat and mouse game, whack-a-mole, or whatever you want to call it. And we're just not really getting anywhere. We've given them ample opportunity to come to some kind of an agreement here. And here we are, you know, 3 months into this thing and still at this like kind of negotiating phase.
Yeah, it does. And it's unfortunate. I know, like I said, I know the president would like to get a resolution, and I think he's doing what's needed to be done. I mean, he's offering him a couple of opportunities, and I think he'll continue to apply pressure with sanctions and military force as needed. And till they come to their senses, if that's a possibility in that part of the world.
Talk to us a little bit about what went on these last couple of days with reconciliation. What do we need to know there? Obviously, it was a very close vote. You had to be in D.C. Walk us through that.
Yeah, so Monday night we flew in, did a two vote. That was just on some fraud stuff, but it gave us a head count. Who was here? Because you got people that are out sick. You got people that may have had a death in the family. So we voted Monday night. As a procedural vote to check, kind of get a bed count, as we like to say, or a head count. And then we left there, went over the House Freedom Caucus, and we met with the speaker on reconciliation. We come to an agreement, and we funded DHS on Tuesday. So that's 12 of the 12 approach deals, first time in three decades. And DHS is actually funded through the end of President Trump's term.
So you feel good about it, and it's at least we're not going to see any kind of any hijinks. Who knows what's going to happen in November in the entirety of the House and the Senate, but that this is sitting until we get a new president.
That's right. On CBP and ICE, it's set. And President Trump asked us to do that to make sure he could finish what he had told American people he would do, was to clean up the mess that Biden did, they created with the border wide open. And so he's got his funding, he's got his resources. Mark Lane Mullen was really needing that. So we got that done because he'd been telling us he really needed funding to keep doing what they needed to do to make sure that we supported law enforcement. So I think the president's pleased with it. We're certainly glad to get it across the finish line.
Yeah, and, you know, they've had some hits and bumps in the road with DHS, but with Mark Wayne Mullen as a secretary, he's had some time to kind of get ingratiated with the job and knowing what the expectations are. But that seems to be, among Republicans, in a much better place maybe than it was a year ago.
Yeah, I think he's managing it well. And actually, I've been told that he really is enjoying the job. So he's doing a job that he's good at, and he seems to be enjoying the job. So I think he was a good pick, and I think we're moving in the right direction with DHS and Homeland.
I'm joined by Congressman Barry Moore. He's a candidate for U.S. Senate here in Alabama. Look, it's come up. We're going to bring it up here, and I'm going to let you. And my understanding is you have a very, very good explanation that a lot of our listeners probably aren't getting on this veteran stuff, that you were actually in the National Guard. Then you, I guess, was an ROTC program at Auburn or something that you got into after that. But kind of walk us through that. And I know this is like a manufactured controversy, but walk us through where you are on the whole veteran discussion.
Yeah, so we actually, I went through basic training just like any, I joined the Guard. I was at the junior college in Enterprise, went through basic training as a private. And when I transferred up to Auburn, I was still drilling with my unit, and I had an opportunity to get an ROTC program. And so I joined the ROTC program. So then I started driving from Auburn as a student over drilling as a cadet over at the unit in Montgomery. And so I was hoping to go to flight school at some point, and getting a commission through that program at ROTC made sense. And so I transitioned and did my time in, and, you know, I'm proud of that. I'm proud of the unit I was in. It was a heck of a unit, a lot of great experienced pilots in that unit. And, you know, for me, it was an honor to serve, and we did our time and served our commitment out. And we obviously are proud of that.
Well, and I'll just ask you, because I asked your opponent yesterday, you believe that you are technical or whatever definition, legal definition, that you are a veteran?
Yeah, you have two. There's two components to be a veteran, if you look at it. Number one, you have to have served on active duty, which basic training was active duty. Secondly, you have to be honorably discharged. I was honorably discharged. And so I absolutely fit the requirements if you look at the Veterans Administration for a veteran.
Well, and the other thing that comes up is the DD-214. Now, why you don't or aren't able to produce one of those, what's the circumstances there?
Yeah, so a lot of National Guard and reservists, they get an NG-22. And so you won't get a 214 unless you're deployed over a period of time. And I think if you're injured when you're deployed, you might get a DD-214. But Guard and Reserve, I've talked to so many of them. Matter of fact, my dad was an 03 captain in the Guard. He doesn't think he has a DD-214. He served 14 years. And I talked to a retired guardsman, had over 34 years. He didn't have one. And so if you don't deploy and you don't do consistent active service, I think it's 90 days, then, and basic's not that long. And so you won't have, Guard and Reservemen will not have a DD-214. And anybody who knows much about the military should be aware of that.
Barry Moore with us here on the program. So let's talk about this, kind of shifting gears here, this campaign and the statewide election. Now, you're obviously very strong in the Wiregrass, and I think there's plenty of polling to back that up. But talk about running statewide. What are you hearing from people out there? Is it immigration still, or are there other things that are coming up, gas prices and inflation and things like that?
Yeah, affordability is an issue. And then look, we inherited that from 4 years of the Biden administration. But of course, Iran, the fuel costs are a problem. So we want to try, like I said, I think between now and November, we need to get a good resolution out of Iran. We need to get fuel prices down. That's a concern. I think most of everybody's pretty pleased with what the president's doing on the border. They're pleased with, I think, our progress of getting the 12 approach bills done to do away with CR. So, you know, but out there, I think, you know, most of the people I talked to are pretty pleased with the job the president's doing. Obviously, inflation and cost are, you know, gas prices are a problem. But I think he's doing a difficult thing so many people have promised to do, Jeff. They just, decades we've had presidents say, yeah, we're going to, you know, Iran can't have a nuke. And it's tough in an election cycle, but that's leadership. When you go out and do what has to be done and you don't worry about the politics of it, but you do it for the policy part of it, you make sure that you do what you tell people you're going to do and you try to protect the American people and our allies. And so, yeah, I mean, I think most of my people are like, we're willing to pay higher gas prices in the short term if our kids can live in a future and grandkids without a nuclear Iran.
Yeah, and I mean, getting this wound down, though, once this is settled, it seems like that gas price question and the oil price per barrel will resolve itself.
I think you're right. I mean, I think because we're increased production, drilling here, drilling now, we sped up the regulatory, the permitting process. We're working on a new refinery in Texas, and we've got some assets I think we're going to be able to use out of Venezuela. I think over time, Jeff, you'll see those prices come down. If you look at Trump's first term, he bought them pretty darn low, and they were really low, lower than Biden most of the time until this thing in Iran. And if we land the plane in Iran and if we can get the strait opened, I think we're in a good spot on future prices for oil and gas.
Congressman, something else is more related to your congressional, I guess, service, but are your I guess, politics. But we are kind of under a new map, a new congressional map. And you and, I mean, I was there, you and Congressman Carl running against each other in that last AL1 skirmish. But here we now have the Supreme Court that has cleared the way for Alabama to go back to what I think is more in line with the old map, the map we've been with since the early 1990s. Just your reaction to what the high court has done and getting back to kind of that framework.
Yeah, I think it's a step in the right direction. You know, obviously, I think we need to push for a 7-0 map because the blue states are doing it, and we're being punished in D.C. as a result. And the Dems have a big head start of us, a start on us with all this, you know, gerrymandering and redistricting over the last 2 or 3 decades. And Eric Holder sued all the red states. He didn't sue any of the blue states. And so the red states are, you know, they've been under the gun with the courts, but thank goodness, I think it's opened up an opportunity for us to do it by the Constitution and actually allow the legislature to start drawing our districts. So I'm real pleased with the Supreme Court ruling, and I think it's a step in the right direction for the future of the country and certainly for the state of Alabama.
So you think a 7-0 map ought to be something the state of Alabama really takes head on in the future?
Absolutely. I mean, you look up the Northeast coast, there's 9 states that Trump got 37% to 48% of the vote in 9 different states, and there's not a single Republican from one of those states. And so they're going to continue to do what they've been doing, and we've got to play offense in the red states where we have opportunities.
Well, and so, I mean, you look at it, and I'm not convinced we're not completely out of the woods yet, but like, this is like the Alabama version of lawfare. We still have like a federal judge problem trying to butt heads with this administration.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing. A lot of these federal judges and a lot of the judges that come up through are Democrats, and they've been put in these spots. And, you know, it's difficult because their politics lean a little left. And instead of being just a strict on the bench by the rule of law, they play politics with it very often.
One more thing here before we get you out of here, Pfizer reauthorization, and where are we on that? I guess you had a short-term extension kind of not make it through, but do you see a remedy there?
I think we just voted to extend it, so.
Yeah, I think it failed.
Okay, there's something going on. Yeah, okay. It failed. I didn't see the vote. I just knew we voted, but I didn't know it failed. I hadn't even looked up at the numbers. I ran and voted actually while you and I were on the phone. So you're saying it failed, and I don't know.
Yeah, it failed, and
unfortunately.
Yeah, so but you're a affirmative vote on this.
Yeah, just for a short-term extension because the president's kind of needing that. And so we were looking, I think, at a July 2nd extension, and I didn't know it failed. Like I said, I just voted on it. I assumed it might pass, but I guess we'll be back at the drawing board on this.
What is the hang-up there? Do you understand it? I mean, I kind of understand. I mean, you hear from the Masseys and the Rand Pauls, but, like, really, what are some of the hang-ups there?
I think it's a concern about warrantless searches and some oversight in the process of FISA. And look, the FBI abused it under the Biden administration. They abused it incredibly. Most of our intel folks did not, but FBI abused it. And so we're trying to put guardrails on it so that they can't search citizens without a warrant, you know, American citizens. But the issue you run into is you got Iran, and 70% of the president's daily briefings, the intel that we're dealing with comes from that FISA stuff. And so we've got to figure out a way to allow it to be a tool to be used to spy on foreign actors, but not U.S. citizens. And so that's kind of the rub. And like I said, I thought we were going to extend it short term. I didn't realize it just failed. But yeah, we're trying to work through it, and we'll see. I mean, some of these guys are pushing for a warrant. I get that. I think we have to figure out how to land the plane, and maybe with some oversight for sure, Jeff, because I voted no a couple of years ago because there was no warrant.
Congressman, we'll get you out of here. Folks want to find out more about your campaign in these closing days. How can they do so?
It's BarryMoreForAlabama.com. And if they want to see my military records, they can just click on In the News right there, Jeff. We've posted everything on there so the people can see my records. And so that'll be helpful for them too as well.
Barry Moore, ladies and gentlemen. Congressman, we'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Sweet potato pie and I shut my mouth. Gone, gone with the wind. There ain't nobody looking back again.